Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Craftcast, the Freemasons podcast, the official podcast of the United Grand Lodge of England. And today, it's finally here, the moment we have all been waiting for, Archcast.
Woo.
Oh, wow.
It sounded a bit more exciting, James.
Electrifying.
Well, actually, a very close friend of mine has pointed out that when he listens to this show, I always seem to get very excited about the Royal Arch. And it's that little in-joke that he and I have. So right. I am excited.
Yeah, your excitement was palpable.
He's overcompensated and gone the other way.
Yes, yeah, you're trying to dampen down your excitement, which is appreciated. Gents, how are we doing?
I'm well, thank you. Been busy lately with my uni stuff, but also recently was just after the University Scheme Conference. We had my University Lodge meeting and I was elected as Master-Elect the ensuing year. So I'll be mastering Gibraltar and over here, so a bit of travelling to do, but looking forward to it.
You're racking up the air miles, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish that EasyJet had air miles.
Oh, right, okay.
But EasyJet and British Airways are the only two airlines that go to Gibraltar directly. So
they must recognise you though from Craftcast, and maybe bump you up to premium economy at least.
Absolutely,
you think
celebrity.
There's premium economy on EasyJet?
Lucky to get a seat.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you no doubt have been surprised by the new voice in the room with us today.
Should I have waited for an introduction?
No.
I just went straight in.
Some people are of such illustrious heights that an introduction just would never do you justice. However, I'm going to try, because we are joined today by none other than Elliot Chevin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's actually wonderful to be here. Kind of feels like I said just before we started that I'm in the TARDIS. Because this room is pretty impressive. It's like an inverse TARDIS, much smaller on the inside than you'd expect it to be, but does definitely look like a TARDIS.
God.
Loads of technology.
Yeah, he's getting even more excited now. Look at James's face.
He should have been on the sci-fi episode.
I am excited. What was it that it was called previously by Sir Michael Snyder? A padded cell.
Also works.
No,
also
it's works. Not exactly the same as a padded cell.
I wouldn't know.
Maybe I
well, I wouldn't know. But how are you, Elliot? Thank you for being here today.
I'm very well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. It's great to be part of this team, albeit for a one-off Craftcast, or Archcraft, which sounds very cool. Great branding, thank you.
No, oh, well.
And I also, like James, get very excited about the Royal Arch. And
so I understand.
I'll just have to contain some of the excitement.
Yes, and you have a very exciting month ahead of you, Masonically, don't you? Do you want to share with ladies and gentlemen what important milestone is coming up in the next month?
Yes, absolutely. And I am, in just about 3 weeks' time, I'm going to be initiating my son.
Wow.
And so he will be a fourth generation Freemason.
Oh, wow.
2 days after his 18th birthday.
Perfect.
No less.
Very
he's,
special.
He's excited, yeah. So he's, my maternal grandfather was a Freemason. My father was a Freemason. And my sister's a Freemason as well. Mm. So we just assume he'll probably love it. Very excited.
He has no choice.
Well, you know, if he... I'm sure he will, yes. And he will enjoy everything about it, and it will, like a fine wine, over time, it will just get better and better. So, yeah, we're all very much looking forward to that.
Oh, brilliant. And James, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Been quite busy Masonically once again. Actually, just 2 days ago, did a third degree ceremony from the master's chair. Did the whole thing, which, for those that know it, is quite an involved piece of work. But I do enjoy the theatre. A little bit of that ceremony, and those that know what I'm talking about, there's a little bit of amateur dramatics involved, and it's definitely something I enjoyed doing.
Well, there can be.
There can be, but there should be. It's all about the experience for the candidate. You want them to have a really impactful experience. And then, of course, naturally, when the ceremony concluded and I presented him with his ritual book, of course, mentioned the next logical step in his Masonic journey. The Royal Arch.
That was smooth. Mm. Almost like you prepared that.
Mm. Weird that.
Word perfect.
But, well, I mean, it's not for me to say, but I think I did a pretty good job.
Because we will be asking.
Yes.
We will be finding out
yeah.
from other attendees.
I think it went well.
Good.
Well, I think what glad. You just said about it being about the candidate and the amateur dramatics that you mentioned, I think that's one of the nice things is that when you get through all the ceremonies, when you start getting on the ladder and you start getting involved, it's almost giving back what people gave to you. It's people have put all that effort into making your experience so special, and then you get to do the same for someone else. Mm. Not necessarily because you know them, but because they have those sort of similar sort of beliefs to you of self-improvement and those sort of Masonic values that are so important. And that very much carries through to the Royal Arch, of course.
Mm. And what about you, Brother Sean? What have you been up to of late?
Yes, it's been a busy week for me. This week, the Strategy Oversight Group met. We meet 3 times a year. That is a group that is chaired by the Programme Master, and it is a joint meeting of all of the rulers and the Board of General Purposes. And that group basically meets to oversee the delivery of the strategy.
And different, that will be explained in later episodes.
Absolutely. And what will also be explained in later episodes is that there are two groups dedicated to the delivery of the strategy. There is the Strategy Working Party, which deals with the more regular, we meet monthly, again chaired by the Programme Master, and then 3 times a year, a joint meeting of the rulers and the board who come together to talk about and oversee that everything's happening as it should be with the strategy. So it's been very busy, but very good, and lots of exciting things coming down the track.
Very good.
Shall we start talking about the Royal Arch?
Let's get back to Archcast.
Companions, let's do it.
So, Elliot, let's start by talking about you. When did you join the Royal Arch? Why did you join the Royal Arch? And where did you join the Royal Arch?
Well, I joined, it's probably worth starting very briefly with my craft journey. I joined in 1999, which feels only about 5 years ago now, but I know it wasn't.
But in fact, was the year of my birth.
Child. Thank you very much for that. I feel even older now. And I loved it immediately. I really, really enjoyed it. And as I said, my father initiated me. And when I became junior warden in 2004, he said to me, "You should join the Royal Arch." And I said, no, I need to really think about preparing to be worshipful master. So I've got this junior warden's role, I've got the senior warden's office, and there's a lot to do in the chair as master. So I need to perhaps just wait until I've gone through the chair. And he said to me, no, I wasn't asking you to join. I was telling you that you're going to be joining. And then he thrust a form in my hand. I signed the form, and I have to say, I was absolutely delighted that he did that, because I've loved it ever since I joined. In fact, funny story, when I was exalted, I won't give anything away, but when I was exalted, I remember when I was inside the temple, they'd really put a lot of drama and a lot of effort into the ceremony. It was filled with smoke, the lights were low. It was absolutely incredible.
Wow. Was the fire alarm going off?
But actually, what I'd realised is that the person that lit the candles before the ceremony started, he got to about the second or third candle, and then it was about then that he realised that they were electric candles. And it was a little bit too late, and there were no windows in there.
No. So,
I was coughing.
So to clarify, there shouldn't be smoke.
No, if there's smoke, check the candles, or maybe open the windows, or evacuate. But aside from that, that's really why I joined, and I've loved every minute of it. There's just so much to learn, so that's the story.
And which chapter were you exalted into?
I was exalted into Earlham chapter. In fact, we have our meeting this evening, so I'm very much looking forward to being with the team there. But that's a chapter that's connected to the lodge, my mother lodge, Earlham Lodge. And we meet in Essex, the province of Essex, and our Masonic Hall is based in Chingford. Mm. So, and of course, not every lodge has a chapter attached to it. Most lodges have a chapter that they're friendly with, they're connected to. And some people decide that they don't want to join a chapter that's connected to their lodge, but they'd like to perhaps widen their Masonic circle and
meet other people.
And meet other people. And obviously, being the sort of person that I am, I decided I didn't want to meet any new friends and I wanted to stay where I was. But actually, no, it's one big family, and it was just another way to spend time with the extended family that I had from Lodge. But I have since gone on to join other chapters, so I've kind of extended my Royal Arch circle quite broadly, I think, and it's been fantastic.
I think something interesting about what you said about your father's, you said, well, you are joining. I think it's easier with family, but it's quite a common theme. I'm of the opinion, at least, that to an extent you have to trust your proposer in what you'll enjoy, because you never really know until you join it how much you'll enjoy it and how much you'll get out of it. But I think to an extent, if you trust the person who's proposing you, they know you well enough to make a good judgment, then to an extent, it's not blind but you know, faith necessarily, but certainly I think with your father, it's certainly much easier to do, to just go, well, okay, he thinks I should do it, so I should do it.
Well, you're onto something there, absolutely onto something, because I've been fortunate to be part of a working party for it's called the MCWP, the Membership and Communications Working Party, to really kind of help support Royal Arch opportunities for Supreme Grand Chapter. And over 2 years, we did so much research, and Sean, you were, of course, you're part of that. And one of the things that we learned about why people join is, or what makes people join, is it maybe, I think we could have saved ourselves 2 years if we'd have spoken to you first, because it's not necessarily posters or pull-up banners or brochures or adverts. I mean, they help, but the most common reason for joining, the most popular by far, is one-to-one personal contact, someone just asking. And you say blind faith. I think also when you consider that and you kind of layer on top of it the fact that you took a chance when you joined the craft because you didn't know what you were joining.
Yeah.
And if you're entertaining the idea of being a member of the Royal Arch, then you probably should, because you took a chance on the craft and you enjoyed it. And the chances are you will probably really enjoy the Royal Arch as well. So there's that sort of connected Absolutely. Thread, I think, right through all of this. But personal contact, for sure.
Brilliant. Thank you, Elliot. I wonder if you could, just for those of us that are unaware, we're obviously all Royal Arch Masons in the room. We're all companions, as we call it. Could you explain for the listeners who are unaware the process for joining the Royal Arch? And I suppose an extension to that, what advice would you give to someone who is interested to discover more about the Royal Arch?
Do you like branding? That? I did.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was also part of 2 years' research.
Yes, it was.
Probably should have asked you as well. Well, I think two questions. In terms of the process for joining, I would summarise it by saying it's very simple and it's also really familiar. So like the craft, you have a proposer and a seconder. And I think when I think about the process, you might be surprised to learn, I mean, you might not be surprised, but you might be surprised to learn that there's probably a lot of brethren in your lodge that are in the Royal Arch. Now, some of you will know this that are listening, and you'll know this because maybe they tell you, but also they're wearing a Royal Arch breast jewel. And so I would suggest, in terms of thinking about joining, that you approach anyone in your lodge that's wearing a Royal Arch breast jewel. And even if they're not, or you're not sure exactly what it looks like, just, you know, speak to your secretary or speak to one of the officers and ask them what motivates them. Why did they join? What kept them in? And what do they love about it? What advice have they got for you? In terms of what advice I would give to someone that's thinking about joining, I would say, yeah, you should join. definitely do it. But actually, in all seriousness, there are things to consider. I think it's worth considering a few things, like I mentioned earlier. You might want to join a chapter that's connected to your lodge, or you might want to extend your Masonic circle. You might need to consider meeting in a chapter on a Saturday or a different day of the week to the one that your lodge joins, based on, you know, work or family commitments. And also, what we know to be true, especially if we listen to Craftcast, we know that there are themed lodges and there are also themed chapters. specialist chapters and chapters of interest that may be absolutely perfect for you. So just like in the craft, in the Royal Arch, there is a chapter for everyone. So I would just say that really consider that. And my prime advice, though, is absolutely, Sean, is just to ask someone. And it's a very, very simple process. But do what's right for you. Ask as many questions as you can.
So you said quite rightly, ask someone, speak to someone about it. So if I was a Master Mason who wasn't a companion yet, wasn't in the Royal Arch, and I said, Elliot, what is the Royal Arch? What would your answer be?
Well, I think it's a big question.
Yeah.
And how long have we got? We've got a couple of hours. The challenge is really distilling it down. But it always comes back to me and to many, this deep connection that we have to the craft. And as a Master Mason, what we know is that you've learned a lot through your journey in the craft. And you'll also know that there's something that's missing, without giving too much away. There's something really important.
Something from the story that's absent.
Yeah, exactly. And in the Royal Arch, you actually discover that something that's missing. But it isn't actually what you think it is. It's even better than that. You know. And so I think it's really worth considering taking a step back and thinking about why the craft and Royal Arch are one journey, is one journey. And I mentioned I'm part of this working group, and what we've done through the research that we've pulled together is we actually distilled this research into four key areas, and we found that the four things, the easiest way to kind of describe what you get from the Royal Arch is, first of all, is about companionship. And you know, you're connected with friends as companions, and the Royal Arch is very much about working together in a way that is even deeper than the craft, and working as part of a community. The other thing is around answers. The story unfolds and continues in the Royal Arch, and that thing that we just spoke about there that's missing, the answers are laid out in front of you, and I think that they're absolutely beautiful and so worth understanding, because then you get that stepped back holistic view of what Freemasonry is. And it's a beautiful ceremony. Now, you might have seen the regalia. Of course, we've seen the regalia. But even if you're not in the Royal Arch, you've probably seen it. And it's a striking, memorable ceremony. And there are elements of the ceremony that I will always remember, because it is just incredible, and that sense of community is really vibrant throughout the ceremony. And then you also learn about yourself, you learn about your personal journey through the 3 degrees and then into the Royal Arch. Teaches you so much, and so much more in the Royal Arch,
and it gives you a different perspective on Freemasonry, almost, in my opinion.
It really does. And to go slightly deeper, in the 3 degrees, you learn about working tools. You learn about the working tools. And there aren't really any working tools to learn in the Royal Arch. Rather, you learn how to apply them. And that's just another really well-connected element of craft to Royal Arch. So, you know, it all comes back to the Royal Arch. And as I mentioned before, you know, if you love the craft, if you want to your point, Sean, discover more, then you really should.
We know that in the 2022 and beyond strategy from the Programme Master, there's been this emphasis on one journey and one organisation. Can you just give us a bit of an elaboration on that and why that is quite significant? Because it can be seen as two completely separate orders, but it's not really in that respect, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah, as you rightly say, James, we've done a lot of work over the last 18, 24 months. And it is absolutely the case that the craft journey extends into the Royal Arch, and it is all supported by one organisation. Now, without getting into too much detail, there's a much longer explanation of why it can be seen as two. and why we have felt the need to share this is one organization. And that deeper explanation is steeped in history. And the 3 degrees are governed by the United Grand Lodge of England, which we all know, and the Royal Arch is governed by the Supreme Grand Chapter of England. But in real terms, it is one organization. And that's because it is a really important and very unique part of our history in English Freemasonry. And we celebrate that. It's part of our history, it's part of our heritage. And of course, who doesn't love being unique? Mm. We absolutely celebrate this one journey through the United Grand Lodge of England and Supreme Grand Chapter. And I there are a couple of examples, I think, that demonstrate why and how it's connected. So, for example, the Grand Master is also the first Grand Principal, and the Craft and the Royal Arch are both governed by this building that we sit in here, not the TARDIS, but the broader building that we're in. And then practically, more practically, from a lodge and chapter level, when you are initiated, you stand in the northeast corner of the temple, and that's the beginning of your journey. And you learn about a builder. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the Royal Arch, you learn who the builder is. Mm-hmm. I won't go into too much more detail because I don't want to spoil anything, but I just think that's just another reason why, whilst it's governed by the same people in the same building, the thread that runs through Craft and Royal Arch is exceptionally strong. Mm. And I don't know about you, but I've put so much effort into the Craft. I wanted to understand what Freemasonry was by joining the Royal Arch, and that's one example. And then another is that, as I explained before, the working tools. There are so many examples of how it plays out through both Craft and Royal Arch. So this whole framing of one journey, one organization by our program master, who of course is also our Pro First Grand Principal, he put this to the fore, and we are so grateful to him for doing that, and to the rulers for bringing this to life, because it just all falls into place. I know that there's a lot of work that's going to continue, and we'll see a lot more information and practical examples of this one organization and one journey. And of course, Sean, from a communication standpoint, mm-hmm. Even if I look at the most recent example of that and the annual report, it's clearly one organization, one journey, and it's brought to life, I think, right now, wherever you look, because it is most definitely the case.
Yeah. I just to go back to something you said a moment ago, you talked about you joined the Royal Arch and then you understood Freemasonry more. And that's certainly been my experience, because I think for those that enjoy Masonic history and really going deep into some of its origins, there's a lot of lectures and a lot of material within the Royal Arch that happen as part of ceremonies and as part of talks that really go deep on some of this stuff, way more than they do in the Craft. And in my experience, it absolutely complements the Craft and helps to explain it more and to put some new perspectives on things that perhaps you didn't understand before.
Yeah, and actually, James, that's a good point there, because you mentioned that you've just done a third degree, and one of the tips that you gave was that you deliver the ceremony in a way that's not right for you, but that's right for the candidate,
yeah,
which I think is exceptional and totally on point. And I think the same about the Royal Arch. I think one of the beauties of the Royal Arch is that you really can pick and choose some of the elements of the ceremony that are delivered. Some people may want to hear everything, whereas some people just want to learn over time. Mm-hmm. And so I think from a chapter's perspective, you know, really work with the candidate to understand what motivates them, what they love about the Craft, and then we can tailor the ceremony for them in a way that's right for them, just as you described for the third degree for your candidate. So yeah, there's lots to it. It's layered, and that's one of the reasons I love it. Mm.
So there is something that I'd like to finish up with, but before we do, we have a very important question, which is Archway. There's been a lot that's come out of UJLE slash Supreme Grand Chapter, about Archway. Could you explain to us a little bit, for those who may not have read much about it or may not understand too much about it, what is Archway and how does it relate to the craft and Royal Arch?
Archway is very, very simple. And I just think it's really worth starting with that. This toolkit, this Archway toolkit, is an incredible tool for every single chapter. And I say that because whether you're thriving or whether you're struggling or whether you're anyone else, so every chapter, you will benefit from Archway. Yeah, it has elements of Member's Pathway, but of course what we know is that some of the opportunities that exist in the Royal Arch are unique to the Royal Arch and so is different. Now we have the Archway, it's very, I can visualize it really easily because it's in the shape of a catenarian arch, which is essentially it's very fitting because it's the symbolism of the Royal Arch. And we have stones across Archway, which are shape, grow, involve, and enjoy. And quite simply, we didn't send out any instructions with Archway because we didn't think you needed it. It is as simple as, if you'd like help shaping your chapter, click on the shape stone. If you want to understand how to grow your chapter, you know where I'm going with this, you click on the grow stone. If you want to understand how you could maybe involve other companions from within your chapter, because perhaps there's only four or five companions that seem to be involved, click on that one. And if you want to understand how you can get everyone in the chapter to really enjoy themselves, you click on that. Now, just a slightly deeper explanation is of the Archway is that, well, it's worth mentioning it's evolving. We are constantly learning, constantly updating it. The best place to start is a review tool, which is on the front page of Archway, and you fill it in, it doesn't take long, you fill it in and it will help you to understand exactly where to start and what to do. Really, really easy. Now, my advice is that at chapter level, just find two people, three people who you can ask to just spend half an hour or an hour or more in Archway, have a look at it, see what resonates and bring it back to the chapter, to its members, and share some of the ideas that you found and think about what might work for you. It's really clear to see that the pro First Grand Principle is really focused on this yes if strategy. And my view is we apply that, we should be applying that at every level. And if we do this yes if approach in chapter and we just go into Archway, have a look around and take some ideas, it doesn't take too much effort, but I think the results, and from the early results we've seen, could be pretty staggering. And that's what we are hearing, and that's what we're seeing. So I do just want to finish the Archway point, though, by saying that Archway was a concept that was created by the team I mentioned earlier, the Membership and Communications Working Party, as well as an Archway team, under the guidance of Professor Stephen Tucker and Dr. Paul Renton. And that team has worked tirelessly to create what looks really simple, but has...
It
took a lot of work, but it has... I think the way it's presented is intuitive, natural, simple, but really powerful.
I think the beauty of it is it's all of these concepts which would have come up in those early discussions, and it's been distilled down into something very simple looking but incredibly effective and powerful that chapters should really be able to understand quite easily.
Well, one question that I wanted to ask was, which you've sort of already answered in that, is as an experienced mason, someone who is also already part of the Royal Arch, as an experienced maybe companion as well, why sort of give your time and get involved in Royal Arch maybe as much, or at least to some comparable extent, as in the craft? I think a lot of experienced companions just go, oh, well, it's the Royal Arch and that's fun and whatever, but they don't give the same energy to it. And I think probably that answer about Archway is go and have a look at that, and at least it might give you some inspiration as to how to get involved and look after your chapter and make that experience possible for others as well.
I would agree, and I think that one of the other things that have come out of this one journey, one organisation, is creating a very simple, clear narrative about what the Royal Arch is. In Freemasonry, so in the craft, you discover Freemasonry, and in the Royal Arch, you discover more. And speaking of discover more, there's a booklet which is on the Supreme Grand Chapter website, and most provinces have created their own version of this, very, very closely aligned to the Supreme Grand Chapter booklet. It explains to Master Masons what the Royal Arch is and why they might consider joining in a way that's never really been done before. So it just crystallizes this narrative that maybe for many, many years, because we didn't have that, was perhaps misunderstood. And what we've learned through the publication of this brochure is that it's actually not just for Master Masons, it's for everyone. So to your point, even the most experienced Royal Arch Masons can take a look through this book and learn perhaps other ways in which they might want to articulate the beauty of the Royal Arch.
So to finish up then, if I may, there's a few things that I'd like to pick up on that we said throughout the episode. First of all, one of the important things that you said is, I think, quite easily glossed over if you're just listening. As a Royal Arch Companion, it's not glossed over, but if you were just listening and didn't understand, I think it's easy to miss the point that you said it's a stronger bond between your fellow companions. It's almost a strength in connection with your fellow brethren. Another thing that you said, James, was lectures are a big thing in Royal Arch, sort of a deeper understanding of Freemasonry. And I took about, well, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was already a companion, and we had a meeting where we had no exaltation ceremony to do. And so I put together a talk using Solomon, which, if you don't know what that is, you can go and listen to an episode that we had on that in the season one. And there is a section on there for the Royal Arch to learn more about the Royal Arch. And something that I found, which a nugget, shall we call it, I think that's what they call it on Solomon. Maybe, I don't know if anyone in this room does know, but do you know where the word companion comes from and why we use it? Elliot's nodding his head.
I don't know.
Because the amount of experienced companions that don't know the answer to this. And so what I put together for my talk was that the word companion comes from a military background, which is from the Latin phrases com and panis, which means with bread. So your companions were the men with whom you ate in the barracks, with whom you fought in the fields. They were the men who you defended in battle and who defended you, the men on whom your life depended, and vice versa. Your relationship is closer than friendship, closer than that of a brother. So the term brother is not enough in the Royal Arch. We needed something more, and we have that in the form of companion.
I'm so pleased that you answered that, because you did a much better job than I would
have done. I'm welling up. Yeah. So you guys,
the emotion's deep.
Also, we hear the word companion for the first time in the third degree in the craft. And just another connection point, it just prepares you to join the Royal Arch.
I think any Royal Arch companion is proud of that relationship with his fellow companions, and to call each other companion, not just brother.
Well, Elliot, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Archcast, as we're calling it. For those listening who want to discover more about the Royal Arch, speak to those in your craft lodge that have the Royal Arch jewel. If your craft lodge has a Royal Arch representative, they would be more than delighted to talk to you. And also reach out to your provincial team. Anybody in your province would be more than happy to support you in finding a chapter that works for you, in the place that works for you, and at the time that works for you, because it is one journey and one organisation.
And in some ways, a reason to join Freemasonry as well.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, there's a number of resources available on the United Grand Lodge of England website under the Supreme Grand Chapter section. So have a look at that too.
So don't forget, you can follow us on X, UGLE_Grand Lodge. Instagram and Facebook, United Grand Lodge of England. And don't forget to email us podcasts@ugle.org.uk. And with that, we will see you very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye for now.
Craftcast, the Freemasons podcast.
The podcast is hosted by Sean Butler, Stephen Watley, and James Dalton. The producer is Marta Zandri. And the podcast is edited by Trisonic.